Yes, indeed. The Eskom WhatsApps are still coming in. This person says, what's going on to Eskom? After first blackout, we switched on the mains, only to be rudely interrupted again. I lost my PC 3 years ago due to unscheduled blackouts. Shame on you, Eskom. And this WhatsApp saying Esdom instead of Eskom. And some people going Eskom. So 072-238-0712, that's a WhatsApp number, your Eskom experiences. But to something else at hand. South Africa has a very painful past, and the wounds are not going to heal easily. Many bridges between the diversity of our peoples need to be built and maintained. However, and this is the question, combating racism, the central problem, won't be easy and needs conscientizing. Online is the CEO of the ITCHAF, ICHAF, a training institute, Devon Munsami. Devon, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, and hello to the listeners as well.
Just very quickly before we ask the questions, tell us something about the ITCHAF. Very, very long title there.
It is very long. It's the I Can Help Africa Training Institute. Now, we're a CETA-accredited training provider. So what we do is we go into corporate South Africa, different large companies, and we do learnerships and other training like business admin, generic management, etc. And in the past, I'd say about 6 years, I myself have been very instrumental, me and my team and I have been instrumental in diversity and inclusion training. So yeah, so that's pretty much what the ICHAF Training Institute does, a training provider, a college.
Right. Now, you've been sort of poking your finger into a wound, and this wound is, how do we deal with racism, uppercase? It hasn't gone away after 23 years, although the Constitution guarantees everybody equality on that front. However, the reality in the streets of South Africa is that there's a lot of baggage.
A lot of baggage. We're seeing it in media mostly. We're seeing it on Facebook. We're seeing it on Instagram. We're seeing also in different newspaper reports and news articles where people are calling each other names. People are being blasphemous. People are very sensitive at the moment. In fact, we're even having of late, prison terms or sentences, charges being laid, as well as people being dismissed from the corporate space or in their places of work because of racism and other factors that contribute towards the systemic, division.
Now, what is the silver bullet, as it were, in terms of trying to combat racism or to try and change? I think it's a question of attitudes, and it seems as if racism is passed down into the DNA of our children, which is really a pity.
It is a pity, and I'm glad you asked the question in that way. It's not an external dialogue. You see, we can have two types of conversations. We can sit around a dinner table, or you and I can sit on the phone today or in a meeting room, and we could have an external conversation about why are things so bad, about why people like that. That we talk about external locus of understanding. We need to have an internal dialogue, a powerful conversation with the self in relation to how I see the world. In other words, if you and I talk obsessively about other people around us, how we rob ourselves of the opportunity of getting to know ourselves completely, completely well, and our level of understanding of how I see the rest of the world. So it's frivolous and no point really in talking about another person, but rather talking about the other person in relation to myself. Then we edge closer to understanding what are my paradigms, what are my inhibitions or reservations around African people, around Muslim women, around Indian men, around Afrikaners, those kinds of things. So if we have the internal conversation, become more aware, therefore we could then become a little bit more aware externally.
Yeah, it's interesting you're putting it in those terms. I mean, the internal conversation, I think if I were to go to a room and have a room of people, of South Africans, and indulge in an internal conversation, and if each person were to be able to reveal the internal conversation, I think it would be a very interesting scenario at the end of it, what would come out of it, because,
It would be. But you see, the internal dialogue, one can be completely open and honest with the self. And I'm talking about people who would want to sit in a, over a cup of tea with their partner, with their best friend, with somebody who's really, really close. Another person won't necessarily understand that I have a level of anxiety around that person with disability or that person of a different race group. And they might immediately jump to a conclusion, oh, you're a racist and, you know, and there's nothing. But unfortunately, when we talk to a stranger, when we talk to people that are not intrinsically connected to us, they don't necessarily understand and see our point of view. When I talk to somebody who I have a close bond and a relationship with, we can together work through what are my anxieties and my inhibitions. For example, at the Bryan, at the party, we could have a deep discussion about the guy on the Greek island, or we could have a very deep discussion about the person who was named in the newspaper as being very racist, etc. And that's very topical. These are topical conversations. It makes for good dinner party conversations. But when we turn the mirror around and we become very conscious of our own thinking around the Greek guy, around the racist woman in the media, if we start digging a little bit deeper, we start to get to know ourselves a little bit better. And therein lies the secret to cohesion, is getting to know me completely well in relation to my neighbor.
No, absolutely, because if one goes inside, as it were, in terms of this dialogue, it's quite amazing to see what stereotypes pop out. I mean, you've already mentioned some of the classical ones. It's amazing that in spite of all the external dialogue, the internal stereotypes are very stubborn, aren't they? They take a long time to go away.
They are. So it's okay for your neighbor's child to be gay. It's okay for your cousin's child to be born with albinism, but it's not okay for my son. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the level this is the depth I'm encouraging listeners to engage in, the depth of dialogue. How would it really affect me if my daughter brought home a boy who is completely different to who I envisaged? And we do have these types of, you say it's cultivated at the bride, the dinner table, within our family circles. Our children are privy to these discussions. Some parents will say, you're not going to bring anybody home but a Gujarati boy. You're not going to bring anybody home but a Zulu girl. Some parents still behave in that way.
Mm-hmm.
How are we influencing people around us? And we say it behind closed doors. We have in clandestine meetings about it, but then we smile and nod at my Zulu neighbor, even though I realize that his son must never marry my daughter, because my daughter is Sutu, or my daughter is an Afrikaans girl, and she must not settle for that. That's the level of conversation I'm encouraging people to have. What if these things do occur, and how am I then going to deal with it? Because it sounds to me like many South Africans, even in the corporate space, the people who are in hearings at the moment for saying something or saying the wrong thing, and they're going through a disciplinary process, they especially, you know, if your job is coming under threat because of racist remarks or behaviors or stereotypes or prejudices, then you're threatening your livelihood.
No, absolutely. At ICHAF, do you do a lot of this kind of training that we're actually talking about right now? Because surely, particularly in the workplace where we see people superficially, it looks like they're getting on. But when you scratch the surface, oh boy, it's pretty rotten underneath.
Yeah, look, it is. People have the water cooler meeting. You know, they'll smile and nod at the meeting. And they'll have, right after the meeting, they'll have a meeting about the meeting.
Yeah.
Have a meeting about the manager, have a meeting about the colleague, and these clandestine discussions. So yes, we do have somewhat of a front. That's why the diversity dialogue is such a powerful one to have, to bring a team of people into a forum, to break barriers and to drop our masks, so to speak, and to subscribe to a Vegas forum. So where whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, you know? I can say whatever I want to say. I'm able to express myself in whichever way. I am a product of apartheid in some cases, and how am I dealing with it now? And you see, when we get into this very real zone, with people that we are comfortable with, you'll be amazed at some of the learning that takes place. The only way we can learn and grow is when I get into a space of pure honesty. If I'm fake, I'm not authentic. But if I'm real, I'm authentic, and I'm honestly growing and learning.
Absolutely. Devon Moonsamy, we have to leave it there. CEO of ICHAF Training Institute. They do lots of good work. But Devon, as always, thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thanks to the listeners.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.